Michael, last week, remember we were in Knowing the Thoughts of God.
We looked at verses 9 through 13 of chapter 4, and we finished up the chapter, and now we're going to move on to chapter 5. But just a quick recap. Remember, we talked about the three I wills of God, how it mentioned about the horn, how God said, I will make your horn iron and your hooves of bronze. The horn and the hooves are symbols of strength in this time. But God says, not only will I make your horn, your strength, I'll make it of iron. I will solidify your strength and make it even more powerful. And your hooves, another symbolism of strength, I will make them of bronze so they will be able to trample even the hardest of ground, if you will. And I will consecrate their grain and their substance. And we saw how God will give strength and He'll consecrate. That means dedicate it to God. God has done a work in your life and He consecrates you to Himself. Something that will be used to bring Him glory. We looked at that word dedicate or consecrate, and it's the karam, and it refers to the military spoils of the war, which were dedicated and set aside as holy unto God, to be appropriated for sacred use. And we mentioned how God will dedicate your life. All the things that you go through, all, as He mentioned, the mosaics of different people and what they go through and how God intertwines them together. It's kind of just a bunch of different things that form an object. And that's the way we are, as we all come with different things, different personalities, different looks, different backgrounds. And God somehow brings all these broken shards, if you will, from the brokenness that happens in our life, and He puts them together and He builds something beautiful. And that something is you guys, the body of Christ. That's what He's putting together. Jesus was appropriated to sacred things. In Hebrews, we looked at that in verse 11 of chapter 9, in Hebrews 3, where it says that we're all partakers through the confession of Christ. As we confess Jesus Christ, we're partakers of what He's doing. We talked about how the angel of the Lord in Zechariah chapter 3, how John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, God spoke to him through that particular verse where it says, like a firebrand, he was plucked out of the fire. And we see how God speaks to us in different verses. And if I were to go and talk to you guys individually and ask you, what verse has God changed your life? And you guys would definitely have an immediate response. Just like John Wesley, that was the one that started him off. You have those in your life as well. And God continues to give you scripture that just kind of profound. Sometimes we hear it from someone or we read it in God's Word and it sticks with you. And it's a focal point, an Ebenezer stone, if you will, where we go back to and we say, but God, you said this. And God, you said this. And I'm not going to waver in these areas because you said, though I'm weak, though I'm frail, though I'm worn, whatever it may be, God, you've spoken to my heart and you've led me by your Spirit and I'm not turning back. And it's those Ebenezers that we hold on to. It's those scripture verses that God has given, especially hand-picked for you, that you would never let go. When the fires get hot, I'm not going to let go. When the waters of adversity come against you, I'm not going to let go. When the adversity comes and you're just hanging on because you know that God's going to deliver you through these things. Why? Because He delivers us time and time again. And these are the thoughts of Jesus, as He shares them with us. Now we look at the coming Messiah in chapter 5 of Micah, all the way through verse 15. We're going to look at that. We're going to jump around a little bit there again. So we turn to chapter 5, the coming Messiah. The first coming we're going to look at, and then we'll go to the second. The first coming would be verses 1 through 3. Now gather yourselves in troops, O daughters of the troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem, and Ephrath, and Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. In other words, from the days of eternity. Let's look at that in verse 1. He gathers the troops together. The troops, they're besieged around the city. The enemy, the Assyrians at this time, they are surrounding them. O daughters of the troops, and he has laid siege against us. The troops are all around. Where are we going to go? And as he has laid siege against us, they will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. I want to look at that word, the rod. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 24, we're going to see that word come up in verse 24. Ephrathath, the ancient name for Bethlehem. And Bethlehem, as you know, is the house of bread. That's what it means. Keep that in mind as we read. Also, Jehoshaphat, he said to the king of Israel, please inquire the word of the Lord today. Notice what he's doing. Here's the king of Judah speaking to the king of Israel. And he says, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Way to go, Jehoshaphat. Here he's showing that we need to seek God's counsel in our lives. He says, they're about to go to war. And he says, you got to check with God and make sure that God is in on them. How many of you inquire the word of the Lord for the day? Reading God's word each day so that you can see direction in your life. God will use any book you're in and any situation you're in to direct your life. So Jehoshaphat is doing a good thing and he's pointing this king, Ahab, into the direction of the Lord. Then the king of Israel, that this would be Ahab, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. So Ahab gets 400 men and he says to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. Notice, his counsel was what? Go to God. Go to the Lord and inquire of the Lord. And what does he do? He gathers 400 men. He goes to the council of man rather than the council of God. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? Later on, we're going to see that these men are soothsayers, and these are people that are kind of diviners, like a horoscope. How many of you go to your horoscope to see what the day is coming rather than to the Lord? This is what's going on now. He has men around him who will tell him, they're yes men, pretty much tell him whatever he wants to hear. Oh, whatever the king wants, you know, that's what they're going to give him. And Jehoshaphat says in verse 7, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? In those days, God spoke to the prophets and the prophets spoke to the people. And here he's saying again, man, listen to me. Go to the Lord. Why do you want to listen to these 400 people? Go to God. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there's still one man, Micaiah. Micaiah means who is like God. There's this one guy who is like God, who speaks the word of God. There's this one guy, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. Oh man, if you know where to go, you know this guy is going to speak the word of God to you. Why do you want to go to these 400? Because we, the people, we're always trying to figure out Scripture and turn it around to justify our needs. To see that what the Word of God is going to tell us to do, if He can confirm what we already in our heart have made up our minds to do. How many of you guys do that? I do that sometimes. And I say, wait a minute, God. I know the Scripture. I know where to go. God, here's my prayer, and I know where to go. And I'll just go. But then I say, God, but show me when I least expect it, that I may know it's you. And sometimes somebody will come up and give me a word. And I was praying about a specific thing. Now, typically when somebody comes up to me and tells me something, I put it in my pocket, you know. If it's not tied into anything that's going on in my life, I say, well, I'll pray about that and see. But I knew that God would tell me, because He's faithful. Even when we're not, as long as we seek His face, He will speak to you. He will speak to you through people that you least expect it sometimes. Under a church sitting, in a radio, you know, sometimes not even a believer, and God will just address an issue that He's trying to work in your life. Well, here he says, well, yeah, there's this guy, you know, this one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we could go to him, you know, and inquire of the Lord of him because he speaks the word of God. But I hate him, it says. I hate him. Why? Because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, well, let not the king say such things. See, Ahab wants to do his will. He wants to cover it with godly attire, if you will. But he knows what he wants to do, and he's going to do it anyway. There was a guy like that in the Old Testament, too, in the book of Samuel, in the book of Kings also, and that would be the king, Saul. He did what he wanted to do. Here, this guy wants to do what he wants to do. He doesn't want to go to the man of God. How many times have people come to you, perhaps, as an older Christian, someone who they can trust, and they tell you, this is what's going on in my life. What do I do here? And you tell them, they say, and they go, I'm not going to do that. Well, that's what the Word of God says. Yeah, but I'm not going to do that. Well, then, okay, you know, you ask me a question. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Well, I wanted your opinion. Well, my opinion stinks. It's lousy. But the Word of God says, so I have to tailor my opinion to the Word of God. And this is what it says. That's where Ahab is at. He kind of figures that God's going to tell him something, but he doesn't want to hear it. And here he says, this Micaiah, I hate him, because he doesn't prophesize anything good but evil. And then in verse 9 it says, then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at the threshing floor of the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, he made horns of iron for himself. Remember last week we looked at the horns as a symbol of strength. And God said, I will make your horn even as iron. And he brought horns, kind of Christianese. How many times have you seen where people will talk Christianese to you? They will say all the godly stuff. They will quote all the scripture, but their life is not godly. Their life, they're doing something totally different from what they're professing. And God gives us that, and He shows us these things. Not that we mock these people, that we can pray for them so that they can get back on the path of righteousness. And the Bible says, you know, look at the fruit of the lives of those who are following God and imitate that. Follow the godliness, not the hypocrisy, if you will. And here he brings out the horns of iron, symbols of strength, you know, and he says, thus says the Lord, as I hold these symbols of strength, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets, they prophesied so saying, go up to Ramath-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into your hands. They all were of one accord, if you will, with this one guy. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen to the words of the prophets with one accord. Encourage the king. Notice everybody is encouraging the king. You know, this other guy, Zedekiah, he brought out the horns, and not just the horns of the bulls or the rams, but the horns made of iron, which he crafted to show that God is with us. We can go up and we can defeat them. Encourage them, Micaiah. Encourage them along these ways. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. This is the pressure that's coming against Christians today, where other people who are professing to be Christians, but their walk is not lined up with the Word of God. And now all of a sudden, you start to fall in line with that because it looks godly. It sounds godly. But there's no godliness there to be found. How can you know? Because you're fruit inspectors. You inspect the lives of those around us to see the fruit. Is it godly fruit? So they're saying, just go along with the crowd. Conform to everyone else. Come on, just conform. Where are you going to go? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's saying the same thing. And Micaiah says, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that's what I will speak. How many of you are saying, I'm going to stand on God's word. In all the love that I can muster, I'm going to tell you, brethren, you're in sin. You're in sin. And I don't say this to degrade you or to demean you. I say this out of love so that you can, at some point in your life, recognize that you're in sin. And the Word of God says that God loves you too much to leave you there. Turn and follow Him. And Micaiah says, whatever the Lord speaks to me, that I will speak. And then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramath-Gilead? Or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go, prosper, for the Lord will deliver into you the hand of the king. He goes along with it, but he's not really buying it. He's just saying it. He's doing it kind of in a mocking way. Sure, go. You know, you've already made up your mind. Do it. Go ahead, if that's what you want to do. And the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you will tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? You see, he knows that Micaiah is just
stroking him.
That's what he wants? Then that's what, you know.
Why should I give you the word of God? You're not going to listen to it. Or you may hear me, but you will not apply it to your life.
O king,
what shall I do to convince you? I've told you over and over and over, and I've grown weary. Fine, go. Go to Ramath Gilead. Do whatever you want. Because if I give you the word of God, I know you're not going to do it. Because you're not an applier of the word, but rather just a reader of the word. How many Christians do we know in our life and around us who they will go to 2, 3, 4 Bible studies a week? And that's good. They're hearing the word of God, but their walk has not yet aligned with the word of God. Then you see some believers who meet in a home fellowship, perhaps, and they don't even go to organized church, but yet their walk is strong. I remember I, as an early Christian, thought, do you go to church at your house? Come on, what's that all about? And I thought, how silly. This is where we gather, you know? And as a young Christian, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I thought, that's crazy. As I matured, I said, wow, church is wherever you make church, in the house, in a barn, wherever you gather the saints, and they're sharing the word of God, whether they have something to plug in, the guitar, or no guitar at all. It's the fellowship of the saints where we come together in unity in the spirit of the bond of peace, and we recognize this is a God thing. This isn't Sunday morning or Wednesday night. This is something God brought some people together, and we just prayed, and that guy got healed. And all of a sudden, God is moving. And there'll be the naysayers like me when I was a young Christian saying, ah, home fellowship. Come on. It's the godliness of the saints gathering together. That's what it's all about. Micaiah, he knows that he's going to speak the word of God to this man, the king. And the king knows that he's going to do it, and he knows that he's giving him just a pat on the back and stroking his head. And so in verse 17, then he said, and now the word of God. The word of God delivered from the prophet of God. The one whose name means who is like God. Then Micaiah opened his mouth and said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. Remember that verse 17 towards the end of our reading. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? Then one spoke in this manner and another in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? He said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets, all of Ahab's prophets, not the prophets of the Lord. This spirit says, I'll go, God. I'll go out there and I'll make sure that Ahab goes to Ramath Gilead and fall. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Now this scripture, sometimes people will say, well, why is God doing that? Why is he sending a lying spirit to let this guy fall? Well, you know what? In the desert, when the people were coming out of Egypt, coming out of the world, you remember that God gave them manna from heaven, and they grew weary and tired of the manna from heaven. It was the thing that God gave them, that all they had to do was gather it, and they started to complain and murmur. And they said, oh, we missed the meat and the leeks and the garlic and everything, that all the spice of life that was in Egypt. And now we follow you, and you give us this manna, which means, what is it? I don't even know what to call it, just what is it? And they start complaining. And we start to complain about the things that God has given us in our life. We start to complain the way he provides for us. We complain about the situations we're in. We start, just like the children of Israel leaving the world, complaining all the way. Well, I'm going to follow God, okay? You know, I'll give up drinking, smoking, or whatever, you know. And we're complaining. And God's just looking down and saying, oh, look at my kids, how cute. How many of us look at our kids when they're complaining and say, oh, they're so cute? And it's like, don't complain. And God, the Bible says that he hates complaining. But yet we do it so often about every little thing. And there in Egypt, when they were coming out and they were in the desert and they had the manna, they wanted the meat. He says, you want meat? You really want meat? We want meat, Lord. We want meat. Tell him, Moses, we want meat. Okay, I'll give you meat. If that's what you want, I'll give it till it's coming out your nose. Why? Because he hates murmuring. He hates complaining. How many of you right now are going through your mind and say, God, I do that. I murmur about this guy or that guy and the one on the radio and maybe teachers of yours, Lord, that don't believe like me or, you know, they don't teach like I do, Lord, and therefore I think they're somewhat lesser than me or I'm a better Christian than them, and so I murmur and complain about them. Don't touch the Lord's anointed. When there is a man preaching the Word of God or a woman preaching the Word of God, because you don't understand it or you see it differently in the Word of God, and you may be right, but don't touch them. Because the Bible says that God's Word will not return void unto Him. And if somebody is preaching the Word of God, and maybe they're caught up in religion, they're caught up in religiosity and in rituals, but are they reading from the Bible? Are they reading the Word of God? Yeah, but they believe this. Okay, just let them alone. Pray for them. When you recognize these things, pray for them. We're not here to smack them. We're not the Holy Spirit police patrol. We're to give them the Word of God. What they do with it is what they do with it. You're to be a light. Light up that room with the Word of God that you know. Be sure that that light penetrates every corner of the building and let the light of God radiate in that life that they may be changed to what and conformed to the Word of God. But don't put them down. Why? Don't touch God's anointed. Yeah, but they build their health and wealth. Don't touch them. God has used them for a reason, perhaps to reach a people group that you're not going to reach. God has used you to reach a people group that perhaps they can't reach. Leave them alone. Trust God. Rest in God. Remember David, King David, when King Saul was wacko? He was out there. King Saul, he wanted to fulfill his self. He started getting weird. And David, though he had many, many chances to take him out, he refused. His men, his mighty men of valor, would come along with him and say, David, I could take him out right now. Just say the word and I'll do it. I'll bring his head back to you. And David said, no, leave him alone. Why, David? He's trying to kill you. He was prophesying with the prophets. Look where he's at now. He's a mess. Let me just take him out. He says, no. Why? Because I will not touch God's anointed. God has called people to be in places that we don't know why. And we think because we know the Word of God that we can figure out everything that God is doing, and we can't. Therefore, when the Bible says to submit to the authorities that are placed under you, that's a hard thing. When you see your authorities, and this is where I struggle, pray for me. You see your authorities in government that are just making a mess. Making a mess all over, you know, everywhere. And just blowing our money, and it's like, ugh. I say, but you know what, God? You've been working for thousands and thousands of years through corrupt city, state, country officials. You've been doing it. And I don't know how you do it, but you do it, and you've been doing a really good job. Until now, no. He'll continue to do it. Just trust in God. And the Bible says, pray for these people. When you see a Christian or a world leader and you're not agreeing with everything, pray for them. The most you can do is pray for them. Because you have a direct line to God. You're in the presence of the throne. And you can go before them. And you can say, God, and if you want to use me, Lord, use me in this person's life. And watch what God will do. All this, we see that this lying spirit goes out to speak to Ahab's prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him. Go. And do so. Therefore, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours. And this is Micaiah prophesying the word of the Lord. He says, and the Lord has declared disaster upon you. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, oh, which way did the spirit of the Lord move from me there? He mocks him. He smacks him. He smacks the word of God. And sometimes when you stand firm on the word of God, with everything that you have in love, with a good heart to help someone, they're the very ones that get away from. How many times I've ministered to people or tried to minister to people where I would counsel with them. I said, I'm begging you, don't do this. Who are you? You're an electrician. Don't tell me what to do. And I've seen people do that. I remember this one particular couple. I sat with them. I said, what you're doing is wrong. Please repent. Please. And I pleaded with them. And they said, I'll never see you again. And you just see them, they're falling away rather than conforming, not to what I say or you say, but to the Word of God. And you see them peeling off and falling away. I'll never forget that first couple that I was just talking to you about. One day, years later, 10 years later, and I told them, I'm not going to marry you guys. I'm just not going to. There are too many things that are wrong. And that's when they got mad and split. And I saw the lady, and all of a sudden she said, Pete, could I talk to you for a minute? Just a minute. I said, okay, and pulled me aside and said, I just wanted to say that everything you said, I know it was of God, because it turned out he was a horrible man. I go, did you guys ever get married? And she said, no. But I've been carrying this around, and I just wanted to ask for your forgiveness. Done deal. Praise God. Don't give me any credit. Give it all to the Lord. It wasn't me, I told her. It was God. And you see sometimes where God gets a hold of someone, and it blesses your heart. Is God going to get a hold of everyone? It depends on everyone. You do your part and just lay out the truth of God and see if they'll take it in or not. Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, he goes up to Micaiah and he just smacks him. Don't be surprised at the very people you counsel with the Word of God that they turn on you. It happens more often than not. And it says in verse 25, and then Micaiah said, indeed, you shall go on that day and go into the inner chamber and hide. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah, return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison. Feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. The king thinks his words are not true. He does not believe the word of God. And he says, I'll be back. In the meantime, I'll deal with this later. Right now, just make him suffer. Give him the bread of affliction. Give him the water of affliction. I'll be back. I'm not going to die in the field like he says God is going to do to me. I'll be back. I'll be back in peace. The pride, the arrogance, and the self-assurance that we have when we don't rely on the Word of God, but rather on our own self-assured conscience. We'll do whatever we're going to do. It'll be okay. I can go ahead and do what I'm doing because God and I are tight. It'll be fine. Don't tell me what to do. And Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. Micaiah, his last words before the people is, he says, be careful, guys. Be careful. Don't follow this one. Don't go down that road. I know he's saying that he's a man of God and he's acting like he's going to the prophets. He's going to man's counsel rather than the word of God. Don't follow him. Don't follow him. Take heed, all you people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle. And you put on your robes. They're both kings. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. The king of Israel says to Jehoshaphat, I'm going to disguise myself. I'm not going to wear my kingly crown and my kingly robes into battle. I'm going to disguise myself, okay? But you wear your robes. Why? Because they go after the king. If they see him in battle, they're going to go after him. So he's scared. And he says, I'll just kind of, you know, I'll blend in. You put on your robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself, went into battle. He's setting the other guy up. But you can't, you know, you can't mess with God. God is, he knows what's going on. He knows what's in your heart. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariot, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel. He's going after the king. If he takes the king out, everybody else is going to scatter. He says, don't worry about who you're fighting with, captains and chariots and all that. Get the king. Get him. How many of you play chess? Is your goal to get all the pawns? No, your goal is to get the king. You'll sacrifice a pawn, maybe a bishop, a rook, or a knight, but maybe even the queen. I'll sacrifice the queen if I have to. But as long as I can get that king. And that's what they're saying. He goes, just go after the king. So it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, "Surely this is the king of Israel. His trap seems like it's working for a moment." Therefore, they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out, "I'm not the king of Israel. It's not me. I'm just Jehoshaphat. Ahab's over there somewhere blending in." And it happened when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel that they turned back from pursuing him. We don't want Jehoshaphat. We want Ahab. So they turned around. Now a certain man drew a bow at random. And here he is disguising himself, setting up Jehoshaphat so he could be killed, so he can get away. And all of a sudden, it's a certain man, doesn't even say his name. So he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded." His joints of armor, those of you who are familiar with armor, they have these openings so that you can move. And they have the breastplate and back protector, and there's those openings, and that's what it is. This guy draws an arrow, launches it. Who is he? Who knows? He just launches an arrow. And God directs that arrow right where he needed to be. You see, we can think that we can play games with God. And we can use all the Christianese, but yet we're not applying the Word of God to our life. And everybody knows it, except maybe you. And sooner or later, that arrow just comes flying. And it hits you where you least expect it. Where you're most vulnerable. Where there's an opening or a gap. And then all of a sudden you're struck. It struck the king between the joints of his armor. And he told him, "Take me out of the battle. I am wounded." And the battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians, and he died at evening. Was the word of God true? Sure was. The blood ran out from the wound onto the floor of the chariot. Then, as the sun was going down, a shout went throughout the army saying, "Every man to his city, every man to his own country." So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and there he was buried. Just like verse 17. "Then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace." So we see that God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. Let's remember that this week when we go out. If there are people who are speaking the word of God, and you don't agree with them for whatever reason, pray for them. Don't talk about them. Then you become a gossip. And don't cover it with Christianese and say, "Oh, we got to pray for this." Well, what are they doing? Well, let me tell you what they're doing. What are they doing? They're doing this. No. Yeah. Well, they're doing this. Has nothing to do with what we're praying about, but they're doing this too. Really? Wow. Let's pray. Don't get all caught up in that. If you know something, then pray for them. The enemy is trying to take pastors down. The enemy is trying to take Christians down. We need to pray for them. Don't mock them. If somebody comes and says, "We need to pray for this person, this is what's happening." Okay, let's pray. That's about the extent of the conversation. That's how it should be. Be careful. Be careful with getting up, wrapped up in gossip and about other people. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we want to confess our sinfulness. The way we deceive ourselves into doing things that we think are right when we know inside you're telling us not to do it. First of all, for those here who need to get right, Lord God, I do pray that you would help us to get right. Help us to have a vigor for Christ, that we would be more on fire than we've ever been for Jesus. Father, that we would lay down our life, that we may take it up again, anew. Help us not to be so concerned of how we find pleasure here in this life. Help the pleasure in this life be serving you. That would fulfill us, Lord God. We dedicate our life to you a little bit more today. For those of you who have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just pray in your heart or with your mouth and just say, "Lord Jesus, I too fall short of the glory of God. I need a chance to get things right with you. And I offer all that I have to you. Help me to walk away from my old nature, my old life. Help me to be a new creation in Christ." Like your word says in John chapter 3 that we must be born again. I want to be born again, Lord. This flesh has brought me nothing but trouble and despair and, yeah, moments of pleasure. But I want an everlasting life with you. I want to know you as my first love. A love that surpasses any one of the Bibles. Lord, come into my life. Make me a new creation.
In Jesus' name, I receive your gift. Amen.
God bless you guys. Do well. Stay in Christ.